1 Samuel chapter 17, a book we're all familiar with, I'm sure, the story of David and Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17, we'll be starting at verse 15 as you find your place. And the Bible says, 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 15, "But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army." Brother Tim, could you pray for us?
Father, I come to you in Jesus' name.
Amen. You can be seated. So as I said, I'm sure all of us here are familiar with these chapters, the ones who have grown up in church for sure. And here we see David, a shepherd boy, he's doing what he would normally be doing. The Bible tells us he had just returned from Bethlehem of feeding his sheep. And here, and David, I'm sure he's just gotten back. And here is father Jesse. He walks up and he says, "David, I need you to do something for me." He says, "I need you to take this ephah of this parched corn." And an ephah would have been a little more than a bushel, so around somewhere 60 pounds of corn. And he said, "I need you to take this ephah of corn and these 10 loaves and these 10 cheeses, and I need you to take this and down to the battle." He said, "I want you to take it specifically to your brother and to your brethren and to the captain." So David had three older brothers and to the captain, which would have been Saul. So David, being who David is, the responsible person David is, obeys his father. And as the Bible says, that he rose up early the very next morning and went down there obeying his father. And so I'd like to preach on today a few things we see obedience led to in the life of David. A few things we see obedience led to in the life of David. And the first thing I see obedience led to in David's life was vigilance. If you look in verse 32, we see it says, "And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." David gets down here, and the Philistines and the Israelites have already been fighting. But David here, Goliath has rose up, and Goliath has stood in front of the Israelites, and they're all afraid to fight Goliath, as once again we all know. But David says, "You know, as y'all are scared to fight Goliath and y'all won't fight him, but I will." And that, to me, that takes something serious. David wasn't joking around when he said, "I come unto you in the name of the Lord." David wasn't playing games with Goliath. David meant business. So the first thing we see, it led to vigilance. But this vigilance gave David a few things. And this vigilance, the first thing, it showed wisdom. This vigilance gave David faith. We see here David, I believe he realizes God and his God-given weapons. David has these weapons that God has given him. He has the staff and the stones. But I believe David here today, he says, "You know, I trust God. I don't have to worry about what I'm capable of." He was told by everybody. He said, "You're too young. You don't have the experience of battle. You don't have the war experience. You don't have the strength to fight. Goliath has too much armor." They tried to put armor on David, but he said, "It's not proven to me. I won't wear this." And we see here David trusted God, and that's nothing more than faith. And we see also that I believe today, if you get serious about God and you truly get faithful to God, you will become more fervent and effectual in your prayer life. The Bible says the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so I believe today, if we get serious about God, one thing that happens is we get faithful to God and we get that fervent prayer life. And secondly, we see, and this wisdom gave David a fire today. I believe if we get serious about God, we'll get on fire for God. And I don't mean an emotional experience. I don't mean an act. I don't mean something that, you know, a one and done Christian. You see these Christians, you know, they're getting this emotional experience. And don't get me wrong, I believe shouting is good. Shouting is great in its right place. If you know me, you've seen me act like an idiot in church a time or two. So I believe 100% shouting is good in its right place. But I believe outside of the emotional experience, I want a Christian that can get down in the valley and serve God. I want a Christian who can be real. And that's what God said. He said, "Neither liken you to be cold or hot, or you're lukewarm, not cold or hot." I believe we have too many of fake Christians. So this realness, this seriousness that David saw, it was a seriousness that gave him of fire. But also we see in David that was not scared of Goliath. I believe David was not scared of Goliath because not only did he know what he could do, but he knew what his God could do. And David did not fare against Goliath. And David could not have squared off against Goliath in a fist fight and won. And David could not have gone down there under his own power with any weapons they could have given him and beaten Goliath. David had zero power against Goliath or for that much anybody in the Philistines. But David said, you know what? I don't care what I can do because I know what God can do. And I believe today what we need in our churches in the New Testament church is some people that say, you know, I don't care what I can do. I don't care what my charisma or my talent or my looks or anything I have can do, but I care what my God can do. I believe we need some people that will get in their Bible and say, bless God, I don't care what everybody wants to do. Too many people put on a show, and I don't care. You can put on the best clothes. This tie right here means nothing to me. This tie doesn't make me a preacher. What makes me a preacher is that God told me. He told me I was going to be a preacher. He called me, and God has we have a calling on our life, and David's calling was to be this warrior that he was, and we see in David's life, David was many things. David was a shepherd boy. If you read your Bible, he once was a king. He was a warrior here in this passage of Scripture. So we see this vigilance sets us on fire for God. And so next week we see not only do we have faith in God, and not only are we on fire for God, but as we see, we begin to fight for God. Not only did David realize, you know, the weapons I have, the things that I know and studied and I've learned, not only can they help me. He said, not only can I use those, not only is God going to help me. Not only do I have these things, but I'm going to use them. And I believe today, too many times we have a Bible and we have prayer, but how often are we using it? And I know this is the backbone of Gateway, but I see time and time again, you know, people, they live in sin and they say, I'm in a valley. No, you're not in a valley. You're being chastised. There's a big, big difference. A valley is when you're being faithful to God and when you're living for God, yet things aren't necessarily going your way. When you're not living for God, you should not expect things to go your way. Matter of fact, we shouldn't expect things to go our way regardless. But when you're not living for God, expect chastisement. But we see here, not only did he know these weapons was all that he needed, not only did he trust God, but he fought. And I see today, once we get on fire, once we get faith with God, we begin to witness more. And not only do we begin to witness more, but we get burdened. And you can't just go around and witness, but you've got to get burdened. You've got to get on your knees one day and say, God, I want you to move. You can't go to church and expect the glory to fall and you've been living like the devil from Monday to Saturday. You cannot expect that to happen. You can't expect folks to get saved and you haven't been asking God and pleading God and begging and sacrificing things for God to move in a mighty way. And so we see here, and David got serious about the things of God. So next week we see not only did he get wisdom, but we see the weapons he would have used. And this is just a little study I did. We see the staff he had. I believe this represents prayer in our life. The staff that David had as a shepherd, he would have had the staff. And I looked up, you know, what does a staff, what would a shepherd really use that for? One thing, it gives him a longer reach. Now, I don't know much about fighting. I don't know if you do either. I've never really been in a fight, I don't think. But in a fight, a lot of the times, the person who wins has the longer reach, the longer reach. Because if you can reach somebody and hit them before they can even hit you, you have a lot better chance, amen, right there, to beat them up. And so I believe today, if we have access to prayer where we can hit Satan from a distance before he even gets a chance to hit us. And too many times, we are not using these weapons. So not only did it give a longer reach, I gave a hook on the end of it, amen, to where they could reach out and grab these sheep that would go astray. And I believe today in our life, we have people in our families, people we're friends with, and they're going out by the way, and they're going out by the world. And what we got to use, we've got to use that staff, we got to use that prayer to reach out and hook them and bring them back in. But secondly, we see these stones, and specifically, he got five stones. Now, people like to manipulate Scripture and say these five stones represent each and everything. They represent, you know, faith. faith, whatever. And people like to say that, but I think he got five stones because he most likely would normally use five stones. I'm sure that when David would go out with the sheep, he probably would grab these five stones, because one thing we see of David is he's consistent. He stays the same. He doesn't waver. He doesn't change. And that's what makes him such a great guy. But once again, you know, people like to say they represent, but I believe today that maybe he would just use those. Not only did he have the staff, not only did he have the stones, but David had the Holy Spirit down there fighting with him. And we see today the three things the Holy Spirit does. And first thing, it comforts. Amen. Today, I believe, you know, David, once again, David knew Goliath was bigger than him. David knew Goliath was greater. And David had a lot of faith, I know, but I'd be willing to bet when David was walking toward Goliath, and though he had faith, I believe, I'd be willing to bet he was sweating a little bit. I believe he was a little worried, a little scared, a little nervous. And you say, well, that's not right, David. But, I mean, just because you have faith does not mean you don't have a little bit of doubt. And I believe David was a little bit of scared. Now, who's not to say that the Holy Ghost of God didn't come through there then and say, you know what, David, I'm going to comfort you. And I'm glad in our life that, you know, when we're down and we're out, and, you know, we feel like no one cares about us, the Bible did say he would never leave us nor forsake us. And I believe today that the Holy Ghost of God comes by and comforts us. Not only does it comfort, but also that Holy Ghost convicts us. Not only it convicts us for two reasons I see. One, it can keep us out of trouble. If you ever notice when you're tempted into sin, you're going to be convicted before you sin, before you do that thing that you wish you hadn't have done, but you did it anyways. You know how it works. But we see here, he was convicted. I believe you get convicted before you sin, but you also get convicted once you've sinned. It's called chastisement. And the Bible does tell chastisement that the Lord chastens and those that he loves, and those that are of his. And so I believe chastisement is a good thing. At least you're saved right there, amen. But secondly, we see, not only does it convict, or thirdly, it comforts, it convicts, but also it combats for us. If you read Ephesians 6, it tells you to put on the armor of God, and that consists of prayer and Bible reading, I'm sure. But the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6 the realness of a demonic force, the demonic battle, the realness of Satan and his demons fighting us. The realness of, it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The realness of demonic battles and demonic things to that nature. But I believe that we have a Holy Ghost that them demons are not scared of us, but they're scared of our God. And that's where Goliath could not have been scared of David. But Goliath has nothing on the God that David served. So next we see, not only did David get wisdom from it, not only did we see weapons he used, but the third thing I see with the vigilance he gained, I see the warrior he became. The warrior he became. We see two things about this warrior. This warrior was dependent. Once again, he stayed the same. He was consistent throughout his whole journey, throughout his whole life. David was a shepherd to a king. He was always the same person, the same guy. And not only do I see that, but saying of God, even when it's rough, even when it's hard, stay faithful to God. He'll never fail you. He'll never let you down. So don't go run off on him just because things haven't been the way you are. David stayed faithful. And not only, you know, did he stay faithful, but once again, he depended on God and all his things. And too many times in our life, we think we can handle things our own self, and we've all done it. We've all been there. We think we can handle situations our own self, and that's pride that we think we can handle it. But instead, we seek God. If we were to seek God before we do some things, I'm sure we'd have a lot different outcomes. But I believe today that David was dependent, and David was a great warrior. But David was not a great warrior because David was you know, faithful and stayed the same and dependent. And David was a great warrior because God made him a great warrior. And the Bible says, "I am what I am by the grace of God." So not only do we see that he was a warrior that was dependent, but he was a warrior that was determined. We see, once again, he was mocked and by his friends and his brethren. They told him, not only are you too weak and too small and without experience, but they falsely judged him. And they told him he was only down there fighting to look good on himself. They said, you're full of pride. You're self-righteous because you're down here to fight Goliath. You're self-righteous because you're down here. He was falsely judged by the brethren. So not only do we see that he was a warrior that depended, but he was determined. And not only, once again, we see, you know, not only did he go through what everybody else said, he denied the false sayings, but not only that, he wanted everybody to see God. He didn't care about self-righteousness. If you look with me in verse 46, It says, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. But in the latter part of the scripture, or the scripture, it says that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He didn't say that all the earth may know that I'm good, or that all the earth may know I'm a great warrior. He said that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. So we see David wanted to glorify God in all he did. But secondly, we see not only did it lead David to be vigilant, and this is where I want to encourage the saint of God, we see it led David to a valley, and this led David to a literal valley. We had two armies here. We had the Israelites and the Philistines, and the Israelites were on this mountain, and the Philistines were on this mountain, and when you have two mountains in the middle, you have a valley. And so I believe today that in our Christian life, not only could we be in a literal valley if you climb mountains, but I mean, you're in spiritual valleys. That's what I'm trying to get to, spiritual valleys. So I believe today, a Christian, you get in these spiritual valleys, in these spiritual low places. And we see here in David, in these spiritual valleys, we see some things that David did in this valley. And when David got to this valley, in our spiritual battles, we see some things we can do that David did. We see we can fight in these valleys. We don't have to give up. We don't have to quit the things that we know and the things that we do. And David got in this valley, and David fought in this valley. And we see today, not only did he fight, but we see in these valleys, we need to be faithful to God and pray and read and study our Bible and witness and do those things. But we see, I want to mention three things that you need to go to when you're in the valley. And the first thing, and some of these are from David himself and Psalms, but we see the first thing is go to the rock. The Bible says, or David said it, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And so I believe today, when your heart is overwhelmed, when you're down in that spiritual valley, first off, go to the rock. This rock gives you hope. It gives you grace. It encourages you. It gives you comfort. And once again, as I said earlier, we see, first off, go to that rock. And second off, turn with me to Psalms 104, verse 10. I'll turn over there. It's kind of far away, but if you want to turn over there with me, you can. But we see nextly a goat to the river that's down in that valley. And you say, what do you mean, preacher? But we see here, the Bible says in Psalms 104, verse 10, he sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. He sendeth the springs into the valleys. So here, when you're in this spiritual valley, go down and get you a drink from that heavenly spring. Get you some refreshment from God. And not only do we see, oh, go to the rock and go to the river, but we see, look to the rapture. When you're down in those spiritual valleys, when you're down in those hard places, look to the rapture. On my worst days, when I feel like I've done everything wrong and everything could go wrong and nothing's going right, I can look and say, thank God I'm saved. I don't have to go to hell. I deserve to, but I don't have to. Look to the rapture. And so once again, we see it led to vigilance and it led to a valley. But thirdly, we see, lastly, that not only did it lead him to a valley, not only did he fight in this valley, but it led to victory. And if you look in verse 50 with me, and once again in Psalms, I definitely lost my place, but I came back real fast. Verse 50, so David prevailed over the Philistines. So here we see today, not only did David fight, but he prevailed. He conquered Goliath. And we see not only did he conquer, but when David defeated Goliath, we see here, it says, the Philistines saw their champion was dead, and they fled. Now Goliath had made some vows that he couldn't own up to. Goliath said, if you beat me, we'll leave. But if we beat you, you've got to leave. And so here we see Goliath had made some things that he let his mouth talk that he couldn't own up to. And we see here that David chased them off. It tells us it saw their champion was dead. They fled and David chased after them. So we see here that not only did they flee, but we see that the victory in the valley leads to bigger and greater things to a Christian. So don't give up in that valley. Don't give up in that hard place of fight and serve God. And we see the victory in the valley leads to greater and bigger things in a Christian's life. And some things it leads to is growth and approval from God. And I believe today we focus too much on the applause of man and not enough on the approval of God. We've got it all backwards in today's church age and today's society. So not only do we see that, but we see, lastly, on the victory, we see that he created an interest in his father. Now, this is interesting to me. If you will turn with me to verse 58 of this chapter, I'm going to let you get there because this is interesting. Hopefully, you'll understand what I'm saying. I really thought this was neat. Verse 58, it says, and Saul said to him, whose son art thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant, Jesse, the Bethlehemite. When we fight through our valleys and we fight through our hard spots, when the world looks around and says, how are they still going? How are they still fighting? How are they still going on in this life? I believe they get to wonder, who is their father? And that is our goal as Christians, to lead others to Christ. And I believe when we fight through those valleys and fight through those hard spots, we lead others to God through that. But lastly, I want to leave you with this, and how to get this victory in the valley. First thing I see is make God preeminent. That's one thing David made sure he did. God was preeminent in David's life. There was no ifs, ands, buts about it on who David served, who David loved. God was preeminent. So seek him above all others. Don't, you know, you strive after these things in life, you know, those things in life that you see, those goals you've set. But don't forget to seek ye first the kingdom of God. And secondly, I see, make Jesus precious to you. Jesus is precious in his own self. He's holy, he's righteous without us. But make Jesus precious in your eyes. Make Jesus precious to you. Fall in love with Jesus. That's how you can get victory in the valley. It's when you have access to the throne of grace, and we all do as Christians. And so today we see, make God preeminent and make Jesus precious to you. But not only that, follow the plan of God. And be in his will. Don't delay the will of God because of your selfish and your pride, because that just hurts us in the long run. So we see, make God preeminent. Preeminent. And Brother Tim, I'm closing with this. Make Jesus precious to you and follow God's plan. And that is how you can get victory in the valley. And this was just a few things that we saw in that obedience led to in David's life.